Welcome to Boundless Love Podcast. Here it's all about next level approach to love, relationships and sex. I'm your host, Sophia Sundari. Beautiful listener, welcome to episode number 4 of Boundless Love Podcast. It's the first episode in the Ask Sophia series. That's the series that will be recorded every month where I'll be taking your questions. So you're welcome to submit your questions to info@sophiasundari.com with the subject line questions for podcast. And every month I will take as many as I possibly can and respond to you. So let's see, what do we have this week? Here comes a question from Fanny from Greece. She is saying, I've been for years in a bad dynamic in my relationship and with myself, such as not committing with my whole heart to the relationship and being unfaithful to him. And he accepted things he shouldn't have. There is love. I ache for this love. And at the present, I have distance from him because our connection is hurting us both. I want to create a family, but not based on old dynamic. I am thankful that 2 weeks ago I faced a natural abortion because being pregnant made me realize that I live in hell. Now that I have a huge second chance, I want to make it good with or without him. From your experience, do you believe that he and I have a chance to create a new conscious dynamic? Would my old conscious actions inspire him to do the same? Thank you for your kindness. Well, what I'm always thankful to hear from you is that there is a self-awareness. So in the way you are writing this question, it's obvious that you've come to a certain degree of self-awareness. So you can look at yourself, at the old version of yourself, and you can admit what was your role in creating that hell, as you call it. It seems like you have come to that place of self-responsibility. You take responsibility for what you've created. You understand that you've created that. You also understand that your partner accepted things that he shouldn't have accepted. This is beautiful. This is also a beautiful reminder for anybody who actually lives a relationship where they accept things that they shouldn't. It's really important to hold your self-respect first and never accept things that are not matching your standards. Have very clear boundaries. Boundaries are an act of self-love. And when you hold them in clarity, you communicate to others how you want to be treated. So, Pani, from you specifically, I hear this beautiful self-awareness. So I really wanted to take a moment to really acknowledge that and congratulate you for how far you've come. So please take it to heart and don't blame yourself and don't bash yourself for those mistakes. Because now, as you can see them, it means you are actually growing. And that's why we need the mistakes. We need to make mistakes as humans. There's no life without mistakes. But then when we learn from them, they stop being mistakes. They become opportunities. They become opportunities for growth. So, of course, there is a huge chance for you guys because of this self-awareness. It's also really important that he also comes to that self-awareness and also recognizes what are his boundaries, what are his values, what are his desires. So that would be really beautiful for you two to sit together in a loving, non-judgmental, open space and really speak from your hearts, share everything that's been on your heart, share everything that hurt you in your relationship. Share what you need from each other, what you long for, what you desire. So this will be a first very important step between the two of you. There is a step even before that, which seems like you've already made, and you should constantly be making that step again and again. It's a step of self-awareness. Okay, now once you've spoke and you came to a common ground, hopefully, then from there you can see What is the next step? How to create that new conscious dynamic which you want? What actions will inspire him to do the same is precisely those actions that you are really taking your life seriously. that you are non-negotiable in your desire to grow, in your desire to be who you truly are, in your choice to really fully occupy this life and live, fully offering your heart to yourself, to your life, to your relationship. This is called living in totality, meeting life in totality. So once you do that, of course you have a second chance. Some situations, they don't allow second chance. Some situations, they just cross such an intense boundary inside that it's just there's no way to go there again. You know, when you give a second chance, you need to think whether you can be together and then not blame your partner for what he has done or where you've been upset until the rest of your life. If you think that that's possible for you, if you think that it's possible for you to be free from that blame, there's always a second chance. And you can always finish one relationship and start a new relationship with the same person. That would be very powerful. To finish what you have had in the past and start something new. That's what I would recommend. Another question came from Anders. He asked, how can we use openness and honesty to create intimacy and closeness? I ask because my own experience is mixed. Sometimes, and for some people, being honest and open with them can make them feel provocated or threatened. How can we help others to feel safe and at the same time be open? Well, it's a great question because on one hand, it seems like as if you're open and honest, then that's what will create intimacy and closeness. But we need to understand what exactly we mean by openness and honesty. Because if you are just giving incredibly painful, hard truth, maybe truth for you in the moment, but you are giving it in a way that really hurts your partner. So it may be even true for you, but somehow in your delivery, it really, really hurts them. So the way we communicate really matters. Your vulnerability is really important. So before you communicate something to a partner, you need to sit with yourself. You need to sit with yourself and really focus on the intention of what you're saying and why. Then there is a specific way to address issues. Yeah, always when you address issues, it's really important that you acknowledge what is good about this person, what you love about this person. Then very clearly you can bring up what is bothering you about your relationship and then offer a solution. Yeah, offer, you can express your desire or offer what is that you really want. And then it's also beautiful to finish it with something that also rounds it out and makes your partner feels held, loved, and appreciated. So that's something that will create intimacy and closeness. But if you're just throwing out harsh truths from your inner clarity, but without your heart, that won't land so well. So boldness, clarity, openness, directness can only work in a beautiful way when they come from the place of the heart. If they come from a place of just wanting to be right and wanting to just have it your way, not being open to another person, then that may create a lot of disturbance. Another question is from Manon from France. I'm upset because as I slide back into the real skin of myself, I am increasingly encountering people projecting their unresolved stuff around desire, sex, shame, and intimacy around me. It's always attention I've never asked for. In situations I am real and vulnerable, more people seem to want me, including when they are already in a relationship. I see a greater spectrum of the human shadow side when confronted with this attention. Aggressiveness, shame, denial, hiding, asking me to keep secrets around what they really feel. It's tough. Honestly, I'm disappointed and also sad, angry, and confused. I'm still wondering painfully if any of this has to do with something slutty, shameful that I'm unconsciously doing or being me more and more, which actually means shining my purity effortlessly, implies that more and more people are going to be triggered. I feel the purest aspects of myself are being wanted, used, and misunderstood. I'd really appreciate all of your rawness. Love from Toulouse, France. This is a very, very good question and a very rich area of exploration. There is a bit of misunderstanding from your side, which I'm very happy to support you clear as much as I can. So what happens when you grow, when you really become bigger, you, new version of you, your energy system, your body even, may need to have some time to catch up. It's like your consciousness grows and then your body is kind of limping behind because the frequency and the speed of your soul is very fast. The speed of your thoughts is also very fast. So who you are becoming, what you are believing, all of that is a certain frequency. But then your energy and your body will still take some time to catch up with that. So there may be a real, completely real embodied experience of your new self. But then your body is still needing some attention. Yeah. So it's like more heavier, denser aspects of you also need to catch up because they still resonate on a frequency that attracts all those situations. And what all those situations are telling you, they are telling that there is some work to do. There is still something to see and it will always be the same. I wish I had good news to you and say that one day you'll just be just free from triggers. You'll be completely empty and not affected by anything that other people are doing or telling you or thinking of you. No, it doesn't really happen. But what happens is that you know how to apply the tools that you have and you know how to process things that come up. And it's really important that things are coming up. It's really important because when things come up, you are invited to really process and integrate parts of yourself which you wouldn't have integrated otherwise. So what's happening here is that people don't get triggered by you just like that. They are triggered by something which maybe they make kind of a big deal out of. But if you're really honest with yourself, you will find maybe 10%, maybe 7%, maybe 5%, maybe 1% of you doing something that is off your alignment. So you need to find where you are compromising. You need to find those places where you are not being fully honest, not really being fully in alignment with that purity that you are tapping into. I'll give you an example. There is a woman who does very, very powerful work. A friend of mine shared with me that story. It's just very recent, so it's really on the top of my head. So that woman, she was facilitating a workshop, a very powerful workshop on sacred sexuality. And she was guiding a practice by speaking in a microphone. In the end of the practice, she saw that one of the participants was really in a mess. She approached him and asked what's going on. The participant said, "I felt like I was being raped by your voice." So what would you think? You may think, oh my God, it's their stuff, right? It's this participant there. Something is triggering inside of them. While this is true, yeah, but she is a real practitioner. So she took that as an opportunity to look inside. She looked inside and she really sat with it. Where is a part of her? Maybe it's a tiny little part of her, but where is that part that somehow has that anger, that violence towards people? And she discovered that flavor of her recent, very painful breakup. Just a few weeks before that event, she broke up with her partner, which created a lot of pain. And something in her was still so angry and so upset with what happened and had so much hate and anger in her, so that got imprinted into her throat and then came through her voice. So that's an example of how whatever people are expressing, even when it feels like it's a total projection, there's still something for you to own. And if you are really wanting to play the high game, you need to really lift every stone in your consciousness. Most of those things are completely unconscious, so you won't be able to see them unless those people are pointing at that for you and you take it as a chance to turn inwards, not blame others, telling them that they are misusing, manipulating, they are attacking, they are not understanding, and all that. But turning inwards, let them have their experience. You don't even need to have a judgment around it. It's their life. They choose how they express themselves. But you hold your line and you take this as an invitation to turn in. Another question comes from C. 6 years ago, my son was violently murdered. He was 18. A part of me left with him. I haven't been in a relationship in over 6 years and recently reunited with a really good guy I dated about 12 years ago. Our connection is a bit off due to me and trauma and guilt. I guess my question is, how do you love in a romantic relationship when you don't feel whole and see no possibility of ever being whole again? Wow, this is a big thing. Yeah, we just really have to acknowledge that this is huge. When children die, it's really, really difficult for parents. It's perhaps one of the most painful things a human being can experience. So, big, big wave of warmth and love to you. And you need to know that life gives you experiences that somehow, on some level, your soul has chosen. It is very difficult to really grasp this because the pain is so overwhelming. Yeah, and sometimes much smaller events cause tremendous pain. And this event that you're describing, the death of your son, it's a huge event. And of course, it's incredibly traumatic. But you need to still find trust inside. Trust that will tell you that somehow this experience was necessary for the evolution of your soul. This may be a very difficult thing to sit with, but that's the work you are invited to do in your lifetime. Nothing happens by accident in life. There is a gift in every situation, even the most horrendous one. If you listen to my first episode, I described what happened to me after the death of my best friend. It was a sudden death and it really impacted me. And I had to grieve and I had to go through a lot of pain because he was my number one person. He was the closest person I had at the time. But once I've licked my wounds and recovered and found myself in the ashes, I can see that his death gave me a new life. So you are writing that a part of you left with your son. But you can also see that a part of you got birthed with that. A part of you that managed to go through such incredible pain and still be alive and still choose life. This part is heroic. You have that part. So that's where your healing has to start. Then you need to find forgiveness. And this is difficult. To forgive is perhaps the most difficult thing. Because you need to forgive those people who murdered him. You need to forgive yourself for not doing better, not protecting himself somehow, whatever your mind is telling you you could have done. You have to forgive. And it's not just like a easy forgiveness that like, okay, I forgive you. Okay, let's be friends now. You can forgive and still not give space for those people in your life. To forgive means to set yourself free. You forgive not for other people. You forgive for yourself. Because when you don't forgive, it's a very, very heavy burden People sometimes say it's easier to forgive others than to forgive ourselves. I don't think that can be true. If you cannot forgive yourself, you cannot forgive others, or your forgiveness will be very superficial. On a deep level, radical forgiveness, there's a beautiful book written by Colin Tipping called Radical Forgiveness. I highly recommend you to read this book and to do the process that he is offering in that book. You will get to forgive everybody when you really follow that process. And very importantly, that you really do very deep process for yourself. Colin Tipping really explains it that your soul wanted this experience. And on the level of the soul of those people who did you wrong, they actually are serving you. This sounds incredible. Yeah. And you don't need to take this word for granted. You need to do this work. And when you do that work, you will understand it. You will have embodied experience of that. But that's the basis of radical forgiveness, that you understand that your souls entered in a contract of supporting your evolution, of supporting you to become who you came here to be. So when you see it that way, then you can move forward. And then you will feel whole again. Another question from Estera. My question is this. Too often it feels like it's a lot of effort and many details. I'm talking about intimacy practice like slow dance or the practice of sitting in silence with my partner or a sensual shower or even a massage. It seems like so much effort. It even feels strange at times. Does it feel this way in the beginning? So I can understand and I really honor this honesty that sometimes it does feel like, oh my God, it's like so much effort. Isn't intimacy supposed to be just effortless and natural? Why do we have to do all those strange practices, looking into each other's eyes for very uncomfortable duration of time, touching each other, really like practicing, like really being present and really listening to each other? Oh my God, like, when do we even have time for all this? It sounds like so much effort. I can understand this. This is really common in the beginning. But what you need to understand is this. All those thoughts, they are nothing but resistance. It's resistance within you to deepening, to really experiencing the kind of love that you came here to experience. Another word for resistance is fear. So something in you is afraid of what may open up for you once you really go into sensuality, into sexuality, with such depth and such openness. So those parts of you that are afraid, they are really valid parts of you. They are really young parts of you that somehow got traumatized in childhood. You have to find those parts, listen to them, and give them what they need. You have to give them your attention. You have to give them love. You have to discover perhaps a little girl who was scared to approach her parents because she didn't know what kind of response she was going to get. You have to find a little human who got hurt when they felt like they were really deserving appreciation and love and they didn't get it. You have to meet a part of you that was neglected and abandoned. So your question is pointing to that there is something in you that is unhealed, something in you that is scared of deep intimacy. And then to not be with that pain that will come up once you start looking at it. That part of you calls it effort. And it calls it too much time. It takes too much time. I don't have time. It's too much effort. I don't want to put so much effort. I have other things to do. So this is just a mask. This is masking something deeper that is awaiting you there. You will see that once you break through that, once you really tap into deeper levels within you, you will see those things they are just so much fun. They are so beautiful. They're so nurturing. You will see that sometimes you will experience that there's nothing else in the world you would rather do than just to be with your partner and sit in silence together. That's what will open up for you. And first you need to do the work that is the prerequisite for that. And I promise you that at some point, this becomes your second nature and this becomes the most nurturing, empowering thing to do. Another question comes from Amelia. She's asking, what can be done to move past toxic relationships? So a toxic relationship is a term that points towards a relationship that was somehow unhealthy, that was somehow creating incredible pain inside, and that was perhaps run on abusive patterns, maybe emotionally abusive or physically abusive, or where just two people came together and they could not drop deeper than their wounds. And really, the only toxic relationship that you can ever have is a relationship with yourself. Because when you are in real love with yourself, when you really love yourself, when you really hold yourself as someone incredibly precious, you won't let yourself be abused. You won't let yourself be manipulated. You won't let yourself be stuck in an unhealthy pattern. So health of the relationship can be determined by understanding whether you are spiraling up generally when you're together over the time that you've been together. If you are feeling more joyful, more loving, more free, more open in all areas of your life, or you're feeling more and more miserable, less and less energetic, more and more doubting yourself, is kind of going down, spiraling into a depression and internal toxicity. So that's, if you see that you're spiraling down in a healthy case, you will stop it immediately. You will have strong boundaries. For a person who loves themselves, this person will have strong boundaries, and this person will hold those boundaries and won't let some of the most important boundaries be violated by anybody. So first of all, we have to come into a healthy relationship with ourselves. Then we can create healthy relationships on the outside. So how to move past, it can be very difficult. And you know, also, you don't need to be ashamed if you entered into that toxic relationship with yourself. Because sometimes certain people, they will reflect parts of us which we would really rather not see, and which perhaps we were really masterfully avoiding for much of our lives. But then when you are ready to come go to that next level, then it's like your soul will orchestrate a situation. It will provide you a person that who will press on certain buttons in you that will just bring up stuff in you. And that person also, you know, I would recommend not to label them, not to label them as toxic, not to label them as narcissistic or anything like this. You can see the tendencies. However, know that anything that happens, it happens for you. It doesn't happen to you. It happens for you to see something, for you to understand something, for you to become the next version of yourself. It is still very difficult. When you do end up in like a fairy tale situation that you with a person and you keep hoping it's going to get better, you keep hoping they're going to start doing their inner work, you keep hoping that your relationship will improve, and you just start relating to a hope, to a potential that may never manifest itself in your meeting, and or even for some people, they never manifest their potential in this lifetime. And when you are relating with someone who cannot truly see you, you also start looking at yourself through their eyes. It's like you're looking in a mirror that does not reflect the truth of who you are. If your partner is not capable of seeing your beauty, your magnificence, the beauty of your heart, then you're also adopting that same. And that perpetuates that self-hatred, that unhealthy relationship with yourself. So if you really get stuck in such relationship for a long time, for some people, they escape after a few months. It did happen to me as well. I was in a really difficult relationship, which helped me see parts of me, which I really thought I healed already at that time. And life arranged it that after about 8 months of that relationship, that was enough for me. And then life orchestrated it in a way that we separated. It was so obvious even for me, if I look back at it, it's so obvious that relationship was just not going the way that I wanted. But I was so convinced that it was my man. So I was really trying to make it work. And since then, I know that you cannot make a relationship work. It either works because both people are willing to make it work and it just happens with grace, with love, or it does not. And for me, it took some time to be able to see what we were creating together and how detrimental it was, and to regain confidence in myself and start seeing myself again with the eyes of clarity, not with the eyes of everything that was wrong with me. It took some time to regain that. So it will take some time, to heal after a difficult relationship. But know that it's also part of the thing. It's part of your soul contract that you had to encounter that and get out of it, and then also find ways to clear the karma. So I speak about a thing called karmic relationships. So I will make a separate episode on that. But in some relationships, we come together to really heal some old stuff. And it is possible to heal it, but it is also important to finish those relationships properly and to really absorb the lessons that came through those relationships and really set each other free. Not to hope that maybe you will come back together. Oh, maybe now we just take a break and then we come back together. Oh, maybe something will change. So it's very important to create a really clear space inside of you. You can even do a little practice where you turn inwards and you visualize that cords between you and that person are being cut, that you really are completing the assignment that you had together, that you're completing the karma that you had together. So that would be a really healthy thing to do, and then understand what is going on and understand that it is for you, and then understand that it was a test for your soul. It was a test for your resilience, and now you need to get free from it. You need to understand your lessons. You need to understand why your soul attracted that relationship, and then let it go and move into your life from a place of clarity, knowing that that lesson is integrated. This is very important. That's why those relationships come into our lives. Another question comes from Kasa. She asks how to reactivate yoni if it's closed. She won't receive the yoni egg. So yoni egg is a stone egg that is used to work on the vagina internally. It's an ancient practice that was developed in ancient China and originally was only available to members of royal families. And this practice is coming to us from Taoism, and only not that long ago it became available to the mere mortals, we can say. It's a profound practice of sexual activation, of bringing sexuality back to what it is, back to spirit, back to something that can help us activate the deeper dimensions of ourselves as human beings, and also restore our vibrancy, our beaming health. So I have a whole online course called Activated Woman, which teaches women in detail how to work with the yoni egg besides other profound feminine practices. And when the yoni, which refers to feminine genitalia, won't receive this beautiful tool, the egg, it's very important to listen to the yoni. But it also may be a sign that she won't only receive an egg, she also won't receive anything else. Maybe she will be open to your fingers, with which you can gently massage her and gradually open her up. That's what I recommend to students of Activated Woman online course. But she also likely won't receive a penis. And if you have experienced in the past that you introduced the penis into the vagina, into the yoni, before she was ready, when she was actually closed, but your mind decided that it was time to open and time to receive a visitor, it's likely that this kind of situation repeated time and time again, that's what has created this closing. So when we are rushing a woman into penetrative sex, we are creating a huge disservice to her yoni, and also to the couple itself, because with time there will be less and less desire to open naturally. The more you force opening, the less likely it will naturally happen. And it's meant to naturally happen. Opening of the genitals is exactly like the opening of the heart. So heart cannot be opened by force. You cannot just tell your heart, okay, now open, now become really warm and loving, now do that. No, it's not going to work like that. The same applies to the yoni. So they have exactly the same nature, your yoni and your heart. So in order to access your yoni, you have to access your heart. You have to look at your heart. You have to see what your heart is holding, what unprocessed feelings might be there in your heart. When you did not listen to your yoni, when you did not guard her as a guardian of your temple, that is your yoni. So this internal work needs to happen. This internal process needs to happen. You need to access the emotions that are there, especially at the entrance of the yoni. There will be emotions. Usually there's fear. It's connected to the kidney in Chinese medicine. And the kidney is connected to emotions of fear and mistrust. So there may be fear stored there. So you may need to bring your hands over your yoni at the entrance without entering, just holding your hands there and breathing into that area and closing your eyes and really trying to sense into what emotions are there, what situations arise. If there is fear, what is the fear about? Is it your fear? Is it connected to some experience that happened in your life? Is there a mistrust in that penetration? Or maybe it's not even yours. It may be of your mother, of your grandmother, of anybody in your mother lineage. So deep work is needed. And when we are neglecting our body, when we are neglecting our femininity, when we are neglecting our hearts, then closing happens. And even some women who are really genuinely sexually open, they also may experience it from time to time. So it also points that something they have been avoiding, some place they have been neglecting themselves, somewhere they were betraying themselves. And this closing is an invitation to look deeper. Another question comes from Marielle. She's asking whether daily practice is necessary for doing the job. What do you recommend to women to connect to their sexual energy? There's a lot of feminine practices that I share with my students. As I said, I share a lot of those in Activated Woman online course. I used to have a school for women called the Priestess School. Now it's paused for this year, but for sure, feminine work will be deeply embedded into my work. I have a training called Sacred Men, Sacred Woman that's happening this year in July. So there, women will be doing very deep feminine work. And in the essence of the feminine practice is understanding of what is the feminine energy. And I will definitely have a whole episode about feminine and masculine energy. But in short, feminine energy is that energy that is constantly in movement, constantly in flow. That energy is very receptive energy. It's ultimately the energy of life. So you need to experience yourself as life to be really in tune with your feminine. And that means feeling your feelings, ongoing, really being in tune with your emotions, developing this emotional intelligence when you don't get lost in your feelings, but you know how they actually become your friends on the path. Then bringing a lot of movement into the body, especially into the hips. This is very important for women to activate the hips, to bring that kind of movement, which is not just a typical movement of sports and training and yoga and any other linear kind of movement that is sequential, that goes from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next, and repetitive. The feminine movement is non-linear, so it doesn't have a certain pattern. It's free, like the ocean, like nature, that never repeats its own pattern. That's exactly what I would recommend for women to connect to their sexual energy, is to really drop very deep into their feminine. And I will complete this episode with a very broad question that came from Vesal. Of course, I could also make a whole separate episode on that, but I will share some initial thoughts on that. She asked, how to love ourselves more? What a brilliant question. I think it could be a question that you can ask yourself every morning when you wake up. How can I love myself more today? What do I need to feel loved by myself today? How do I need to treat my body, that my body really feels loved by me? How do I need to connect with my inner child so that he or she really feels loved by me? So ask yourself those questions frequently. That could be a really, really good entry point for that. I would recommend the practice that every day when you wake up, you place your hand over your heart in the center of your chest and you breathe into that area, and you feel how your hand is moving as your chest expands and with exhale relaxes, and breathe into that area and just direct loving thoughts to your heart. You can say to yourself, I love you, I love you, I love you, and spend 10 breaths like that. And then you can place your hand on another body part, maybe over your belly or over your womb or over your yoni, and do the same thing. So that would be a very loving way to meet a new day. So with that, we will complete this episode. Thank you so much for tuning in. I would love it if you subscribe, and if you feel so cold, even leave a review. Thank you for being here.